Next up, agenda item 28, French Creek Cooling Project. Jeremy.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling, glad to be here. Give you a little data, some information on French Creek. Point of clarification just before I get going here. Sorry, I think we've got the wrong PowerPoint up.
French Creek Cooling Study? I think that's one Jake gave me.
So, just minimize that real quick. Let me see. This one.
Okay. There we go.
Sorry about that, little hiccup. Anyway, point of clarification real quick. They had this titled French Creek Cooling Study. That's slightly misleading. This really is about trout refugia, about trout habitat. The goal of this project was not to cool large stretches of stream. The goal of this study was to cool pockets of water where fish can hide during those warm parts of the summer. Give them a chance to get going here.
Oh, I've got it locked up. Didn't want to play nice. Is that it?
Yeah, there we go.
Okay,
so Just to talk about trout habitat for a moment, really when you start to ask the question, what is trout habitat, a lot of people focus on the physical characteristics of a stream, woody debris, vegetation for juvenile fish to hide in, a number of different factors. But one thing that's kind of lost in that discussion is thermal habitat. Most of us know that trout are a cold water species. They need cold water. To give you a couple thresholds, Jake kind of talked about some of our warmer streams in the hills. When we hit 70 degrees Fahrenheit in a stream, that starts to impact the quality of a fishery in terms of growth and feeding of those fish. You get into the upper end of that 70 degree range, up above 80 degrees. If you sustain at that level, you will see trout mortality in the stream. Our Black Hill streams were really just peaking there in our late summer days. We're not often seeing fish kills, but it is a concerning trend over the years as we see those peak temperatures start to rise. When you look at ways to mitigate a warming stream, there's relatively few options. One of those is overhead cover shading. So you can use trees, essentially. But if you don't already have those trees existing, that takes a long time to build that up. And unless you're covering large portions of the stream corridor, it might just be a negligible effect with upstream temperatures. The next option is if you have an upstream dam that has a cold water release valve on it, you can release water out of the bottom of that lake that's already cold and flush it downstream. Beyond that, there's relatively few options. And so as fisheries managers taking a proactive approach, looking down the road, it'd be nice to have some tools in the toolbox where we can address an issue like this. And so that's kind of where this project sort of took off. It's really kind of some novel ideas. There's really nothing like this happening to my knowledge. But it is a very proactive approach. Some of the considerations to this system was that it needed to be remote capable. We needed to consider the footprint on the next to the stream just from an aesthetic standpoint. We had a 5-degree cooling goal, so that's kind of what we were shooting for, to decrease the temperature of the stream 5 degrees. But this is a mechanical system, and I'm a fish biologist. I don't necessarily have those skills, so We partnered with some engineers from NDSU Mechanical Engineers, and they kind of took on a large portion of the work here. A quick rundown of our timeline. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this slide. We went through a number of different iterations of a lab scale model, half scale prototype that we tested in the field. Took that data back, tried to increase some efficiencies, and then put a full prototype in the stream again. Here's just a picture of that lab scale model. A lot of work went into building some of these lab scale models, and we got a lot of good data off that to inform our final designs. Just another view of that scale model stream that was built at the lab at NDSU. Here's our actual model in the field. If you kind of follow the arrows there, there's a chiller that cools the water, that's cycling water back and forth from a holding tank down to those copper tubes. That's the heat exchanger, and that is actually in that box in the stream. So our 2020 results, one large caveat to this data is we were on schedule to deploy that first prototype in the summer of 2020. That actually did not get deployed in the summer. It got deployed in October, mainly due to COVID delays. The lab at NDSU was shut down for a number of months, and that kind of pushed our timeline back. And so the stream temp when we were testing this was just over 48 degrees, and we were able to cool that down 3 degrees. With the knowledge that at a higher temperature, we'd see greater performance. Looking at a couple takeaways after 2020, we increased some of the efficiencies in the design, reducing the energy requirements, increasing horsepower, and then we did some design changes just to increase efficiency. Here's kind of the full layout. You can see all the solar panels there, a couple different sizes of enclosures that we tested out in the stream, and all the electrical components. 2021, the results of that study, we did hit our 5-degree cooling goal. We achieved 5 degrees of cooling. Stream temp at that time, this was in 2021, was 73 degrees on average. We did get that down below that 70 degree threshold, which was good to see. Some of the takeaways out of that 2021 work, we hit our 5 degree cooling goal. We did increase a lot of the efficiencies of the system. Some of this work has already been published in some engineering journals. NDSU is pursuing a provisional patent on this system, so there's some things going on there. Moving forward, there's obviously a lot more research to be done on a system like this. But one of the really interesting things that we were able to do was once we had all this data in hand, we could model what it would be like if we used a refrigerant instead of just water in a closed system. For instance, using compressed CO2, which would be, if you were to use a synthetic refrigerant, there'd be some serious concerns if that leaked out into the stream. With CO2, if that leaked into the system, it'd be fairly negligible effects. Moving forward, if they were to use CO2, that coefficient of performance goes really high, and you could achieve 20 degrees or more cooling under the stream scenarios. With that, I'll take any questions.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Bartlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. On that last slide, when you were talking about using CO2 and whatnot, what kind of a cost, have you even talked cost estimate of doing something on a quote-unquote artificial mechanism of that nature?
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Barling. So essentially, the cost and work would be fairly negligible to change that system over to a CO2 system.
Other questions? Mr. Risler.
Commissioner Risler, are there any other states, organizations trying to cool our streams like this?
Commissioner Risler, there is a number of different entities that are considering the issues. I would not say they're necessarily making efforts, but as I said, there's very few options at hand. And so our perspective was, like I said, you know, a tool in the toolbox, starting to make some progress towards something that will be much, much different end goal down the road.
Can I have a follow-up?
Oh, no, absolutely.
You mentioned some of the streams in our hills that were kind of at that threshold of being around 80 degrees. Where are we talking?
Through the chair. Commissioner Risler, so when we look at French Creek, the data from this, we're touching that 80 degree threshold in the late summer months. One thing that I did mention, you know, as that's a daily peak. So your temperature is actually going to fluctuate potentially, you know, 8 to 10 degrees throughout the day. And so if you just touch that for a few hours in the afternoon and then it comes back down in the evening, you're probably okay. Where you really run into those mortality issues is when you sustain at that 78 to 80 degrees. We are sustaining 70 degrees or more in our streams. And so as I said in the beginning, there's sort of the quality aspect with reduced feeding and growth, and then you also have a survival issue.
Okay, but we don't have a number of streams that are at this threshold. Right now we're looking at this one.
The chair. Commissioner Risler, we have probably three or four streams, and it's dependent, you know, as you get onto the prairie, all of our streams, you know, hit that threshold. In the Black Hills itself, Spring Creek, French Creek, maybe Whitewood Creek, those are the ones that we're seeing some of those thermal issues.
Interesting. Thank you.
You got any other questions? Commissioner Whitmire and then Commissioner Spring.
Yeah, thank you. So on the temperature of the water itself, I'm assuming that it's the oxygen carrying ability of the water chiefly that would affect the fish. I guess, you know, so you drop 3 degrees and you're going to carry more oxygen in that water. Would aeration as well? I mean, are you studying both, or would that be advantageous to study an aeration system to see if it has similar effects, I guess, as far as lowering the temperature, you know, if you're just looking at the economics of temperature control versus aeration?
Commissioner Whitmire, you know, you bring up a good point with the oxygen. In a stream system, you know, the oxygen probably isn't a large issue. In a standing water system, that probably is more of an issue. So I don't see a lot of applicability for an aeration system necessarily in the streams.
Question I have is the volume of the stream. If it's a small stream, you could probably cool it much easier and probably wouldn't work in a real large stream. Is the volume of the water got anything to do with that?
Commissioner Spring, as I kind of said in the beginning, the goal of this project was more to look at small pockets of water. If you were looking at cooling the stream as a whole and having sort of downstream effects, the thermal energy requirements to cool that sort of volume would be very large. And so to answer the question, yes, volume would have an impact, certainly. Yes.
Like a small stream, it would be a longer distance, it would be cool. A bigger stream, it would just be a short distance, it would be cool.
Correct.
Commissioner Bees.
Commissioner Bees here. It seems like that'd be a pretty expensive thing to do. Is there a point when you come to and say, well, we have a problem with that stream in that area, we go to a different species of fish?
Commissioner Bees, thank you for that question. You're absolutely right. There is a point where, yeah, you would just probably say that the cost isn't worth it. And there's a lot of factors in that, you know, the value of the fish to the anglers, and what the change of species might mean for those anglers, certainly from a cultural perspective. But yes, absolutely.
Any other questions? I've got two, and one will probably put you on the spot, so I apologize for that in advance. But in the area where the water's cooler, are the fish going to gather there?
Yes, Mr. Commissioner, it will, or Mr. Chair. it will congregate fish. We had a number of anglers actually fishing right on top of it and catching fish, and we're all for that. So.
Okay. Second question is, does that relate to anything to do with the discussions we had on Rapid Creek a few years ago with water flow and, you know, less water would heat up and not as cool? I mean, is it any relation to that? And without really getting into the weeds on that, if that's better left for another day or discussion, that's good too.
Mr. Chair, certainly in Rapid City, there is some thermal issues as you get further down the stream corridor, especially, past the town of Rapid City. I think what you're mentioning is the flow releases out of Pactola Reservoir.
Right.
From a thermal side of things, that's a positive. The volume of water that they release is more of an impact on the quality of the fishery, but there is no thermal concerns.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you. Any other questions? All right, good presentation. Way to go.
Thank you.